This is the Red Shirt Geeks podcast, which makes its home at redshirtgeeks.com.
And so it begins.
Files accessed. Transfer of data complete.
Commencing.
Ladies, gentlemen, and all species of fish in between, by Ensign Williams' short uniform, we are the Red Shirt Geeks.
Red Shirt Geeks!
Shooting the proton torpedoes and, like, make us go that way.
Red Shirt Geeks!
Very bad feeling.
Shut up, Wesley!
Red Shirt Geeks!
Hello, my name is Inigo Montoya. You killed my father.
Red Shirt Geeks!
Hide behind the mound. Dead Barnes.
Make it so.
Red Shirt Geeks!
I'm Laz D, the pseudo Kiwi.
I'm the illustrious Patrick M.
And I'm Sweetbeard of Zeus Alex.
And I'm Dave the Destructor, no relation to Gozer.
Aw, no fun. That's no fun at all.
I'm not sorry that. That just derailed my entire train of thought. Thank you. Now I'll be thinking.
Train's off the rails. We're all gonna die. Oh, sorry.
But yeah. The thing we do have in common is we both live in the back of a fridge.
Mm. True, you do.
I like my eggs fried.
Sweet, I got a countertop for you.
Yes, awesome.
Yes.
In this episode, we're gonna talk about the mecca of all geekdom. The con. That's right. We're talking about things like San Diego Comic-Con. We're talking about SciCon Tampa. We're talking about Geekonomicon, Gen Con, and any other con you can think of, including the con job. Perhaps not an ex-con? No?
Okay.
No ex-cons.
You've completely lost us on that one.
Red Shirt Geeks!
All right, so this episode, we are talking about cons. That's right, conventions, people. Geek meccas. Place where people get together, do cosplay, do panels, do viewings, do games, comics, movies, TV series, you name it. If there is something that you can geek out about, there's a con for it. And if you've been listening to the episodes, you know that in the past week from this episode, last week we did four fantastic interviews with guests from SciCon Tampa 2014. We had Robert Westerfield and Stephen Elliott from SciCon. That was great. Then we had Nikki Klein from Battlestar Galactica on the episode. That was amazing. That was completely amazing. Very fun interview. We had Jack Stauffer, who has a very storied career in sci-fi as well as TV in general. Also huge in theater. It was a really good talk with the guy. And, of course, we were blessed again for our good friend Richard Hatch to revisit the show to help promote the con that he's going to be at. He's actually going to be doing an acting workshop while he's there. All I can say is that myself, with conventions, going to them when I actually could go to them, I don't care what anybody thought of me about it. I was a nerd in my environment. I was right in my element. I wasn't afraid of it, man. If it required that I tape the middle of my glasses just for the sake of being a stereotypical stereotypical geek or nerd, I would do it because I love it. I love going to cons. I love seeing the people. I love seeing the fans. I love seeing the guests. I love seeing the panels. I love seeing anything that's going on there.
Well, that's absolutely the beauty of the going to conventions. You know, especially if you're a geek. And like all of us, you were probably bullied back in school. You know, maybe you dealt with having to hide the things that you love. And the beauty of cons, you know, is you go to these things and it's all people just like you. You can go dressed up as whatever character you want, whatever cosplay you want to do. If you want to mix two characters and do a cosplay of both of them combined, people are going to love you for it. They're going to dig everything that you dig. And, you know, It's a great sense of camaraderie, and it's a great sense of, you know, feeling like you belong.
With my experience with conventions, the one thing that's always guaranteed when you go to them is there's always two things that are guaranteed, and that's cosplay and caffeine.
Oh yeah, definitely.
We like caffeine.
I've been to a few where they actually had coffee bars.
Yeah. Wow, nice.
Yeah, so that's, you know, they're always fun. The few that I've always been to have have always been rather enjoyable, you know, whether someone shows up as Iron Man, made up, you know, and tape, people still enjoy it and have a good time. You know, you don't have to worry about someone like, oh, they're going to hate this. And like, no, they're always going to love what you design because you took the time to make it.
It's just and the degree of love, right?
Yeah. Yep. So you don't have to be embarrassed about what you're into, you know, for a weekend out of the year.
You know, one thing I find that I really enjoy about the entire atmosphere is that you're right. It doesn't seem to be a lot of overt judgmentalism when it comes from the other fans about, you know, if you took the time to do something and it looks decent, you're going to get a lot of praise because people are going to respect you for the effort you put into it. It may not be perfect, you know, and a lot of times, you know, if it's halfway decent, people are going to love what you do and they're going to be really supportive about it. And that'll fuel you on to go and do more of it, you know, again and again. But again, also, I mean, something that's crept up or sort of cropped up in recent years is this idea of the panel, where you get people from a movie or a TV series or whatever, and you have them talking to the fans, you know, basically like a Q&A. Mm-hmm. I think that has really helped raise the awareness and the public image of how cool it is to go to a con, because, you know, I know for me, if I'm going to go to a con and I know that the crew, you know, the cast of Firefly are going to be there, man, poof, I'm there, you know, whatever. Or if, you know, perhaps if they're going to wheel out Carrie Fisher and Mark Hamill and Harrison Ford so they can show us, you know, Star Wars Episode 7, the geriatric wars, you know. whatever, you know, we have this, it gives me an opportunity. I know that I'm not going to just go watch somebody's talk for 20 minutes, half an hour, and then take a few questions afterwards. It's like, that's all they're there to do. They're there primarily to answer your questions. And I mean, they share some stuff about what's going on, but ultimately they're there to answer your questions. And to me, that's the ultimate kind of interaction. You know, they're there not just to put their ego on display. They're there to really interact with the fans, and the fans are really what keeps them coming back.
Yeah, the best about, you know, being a fan of, you know, you mentioned Firefly. You know, if you were to go to a convention and see the cast of Firefly up on a panel talking about, you know, maybe their times doing Firefly, maybe they're talking about other shows they do. But the best is you go there as a fan and you've connected with, you know, and I'm going to bring up Nathan Fillion's character of Malcolm Reynolds. You've connected with Malcolm Reynolds and you may love Malcolm Reynolds. You may, you know, really look up to that character, you know, and really appreciate him. And you've watched the series 30 times, and then you go to the convention and you see Nathan Fillion and he gets to talk about that character and about what made that character. And you get this great, you know, like, oh my God, you know, they're people just like me. And like, then you get the backstory of what made him want to play Mal that way and what, you know, what his intentions were and his motivations. And it's just awesome. It's an awesome experience that you can't get anywhere else. And to do it in person, forget about it, you know?
Yeah. That's one of the biggest things is finding out that those people are just like you. They're not any different.
Oh, epic.
You know, I had a friend that, his girlfriend went, he wasn't able to go. So his girlfriend went for him. And I can't remember what convention it was, but it had the guy that voiced Commander Shepard in Mass Effect. And he just, you know, she just walked up to him. She's like, hey, can you record saying something in your Commander Shepard voice to my boyfriend? And he did. And, you know, he was just like an everyday guy. He wasn't anything awesome. Different. He wasn't special. You know, he knew that, you know, what he did was great and people enjoyed it. So.
Well, again, yeah, I mean, so you're talking about people who are actually... They're not just like, oh, you know, I am whatever, I'm this person, and I am all important. And this actually goes back to something that Jack Stauffer said during his interview, was that there are some people who just aren't that good with the fans, and you can tell right away. And ultimately, they're not that successful afterwards. Mm-hmm. You know, if you look at the people now who are at these conventions, the ones who are most popular are the ones who really get down with the fans and treat them like real people and are humbled by the fact that these people are following them, are devoted to their works. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can give you a beautiful example. Is it Tom Huddleston or Tim Huddleston?
I want to say it's Tom. That sounds familiar.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Tom Hiddleston?
Yeah, Tom Hiddleston. Thank you. I always get it backwards, you know. I always say
Tim Hiddleston. Tim
yeah.
We'll just but make Tom fun of you more for that.
So, you know, you take Tom Hiddleston as a perfect example. The reason why he and the likes of Robert Downey Jr. are really, really popular outside of what they do in the movies is that they will go out of their way to make people feel appreciated for following what they do. You know, it doesn't, have to be just because that person is sick or in a hospital. It's they love connecting with the fans.
Yeah.
I think that a lot of what some of the actors and, you know, I'm just going to lump them all into one category of famous people. Mm-hmm. What a lot of these famous people seem to forget is every time they go to a convention, every time they're out in public dealing with their fans, they really kind of need to treat it like they're a congressman or a senator out on campaign. You know, they need to realize that. You know, essentially, these are the people that are going to vote for them in a sense to get that next role. You know, it's like, oh, you want to see me in the next big franchise that comes out? I better have fans and I better have people that like me in order for the movie studio to want me to be that role. You know, so and a lot of them get it, some of them don't. You know,
Firefly.
Well, movie studio wise, you know, all the cast are fantastic. I haven't personally gotten to meet any of the cast from Firefly, but every account that I've gotten is that, you know, they're all obscenely nice to their fans and they love their fans for following them and sticking with them through thick and thin. All the brown coats out there, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Which, you know, geez, I could get on that topic for days just talking about how I want Firefly to come back.
Well, think about it this way. Again, there is no real true act of altruism when it comes to actors and actresses, okay? You know, and because, to be honest with you, we all know that to be an actor, you have to be on some level, you have to be a narcissist, okay? You have to be an egotistical narcissist because you get off in some way with people paying attention to you, being the center of attention in some way, shape, or form.
Absolutely, and Jack Stauffer even copped up to that in our interview with him just last week.
That's exactly right. So you have to be a narcissist and somebody who craves attention. So there is no true altruistic act, but at the same time, taking time to recognize the efforts of the people who are giving you that attention, that makes all the difference. You know, the cool thing about, like, I mean, I even remember going to Star Trek conventions in Cincinnati. They were small affairs, but they were fantastic because the people you met there, you just couldn't get over the passion. The passion of the people who were there to see whatever it was. And, you know, now we've got, back then, cosplay wasn't a real thing. It was just kind of something that was just a little bit of an inkling that was about to come. And this is in the early to mid 90s. Now you have people making it almost an Olympic sport.
Totally. I definitely don't want to cut you off, Alex, but I've got a great, I think my favorite cosplay that I've ever seen, this year wise, I couldn't tell you. It was at a convention somewhere in Southern California, early 90s. I was young, you know, 6, 7, 8, somewhere in that ballpark. And I saw this dad. Okay. And he had fully dressed and it was a beautifully detailed costume of, one of those yellow loading mechs from the movie Aliens. You remember what I'm talking about?
Yep.
And the genius of this costume was he strapped his kid to the front of his chest so that it looked like the kid was piloting the mech. It was brilliant. I mean, it was dead on, absolutely dead on. And the dad was standing on platforms.
Yeah.
You know, so I mean, this thing easily stood, you know, 7, 8 feet tall. Like it was beautifully done.
I commend anybody that does an Aliens cosplay.
Oh,
you don't
totally.
See a lot of people that do it. Totally. So when they do it, it's like, yes.
Oh, absolutely. And again, that was early 90s, so that's when, you know, Aliens was really, you know, popular. But, yeah, I mean, that was my one of my first and my most favorite, even to today, you know, favorite experiences with cosplay. And just like Lars said, that was before it even had the name, you know?
Yeah, there's amazing sort of dedication to what it is to go to these cons, you know, and I know that as we progress as a team, you know, it is our intention to attend more conventions, so that we can make a presence for the Red Shirt Geeks, and so that we can also appreciate, you know, our geekdom. We celebrate our geekdom. That is at the bottom line, at the end of the day, that is exactly what a con is. It is a celebration of being different, you know, and in some ways, I mean, you look at us as a whole, you look at the Red Shirt Geeks as a whole. We're grown men who represent a cross section of what it is to be a geek. Because you look at myself, I tend to be kind of, I guess, maybe across the board. You don't necessarily know how to take me until you talk to me. Patrick, same kind of way. You don't peg him as a geek right away until you're talking to them about something. Dave,
I did. I totally pegged him as a geek.
You were pre-warned. Dave, you're a former U.S. Marine, and when I see you, it doesn't scream to me geek. So the fact that you are one makes it that much better.
I'm a closet geek, and you're not supposed to tell people that I'm a geek because I'm still in the closet.
I thought you were a closet geek who came out of the closet.
Well,
not on the geek part, but.
and Alex, I mean,
Alex is a geek, no question. I saw him five seconds later, geek.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Alex. You were a dead giveaway, especially with the Chewbacca bobblehead. You know, I just couldn't. There's no way. I mean, you could have been wearing a business suit, and I would have known you were a geek. But again, the cool thing about it is that these conventions are this big, massive celebration of being different. Nobody can take that away from us. And I go back to an old saying, and this is something that stuck with me for years, probably 25 years it stuck with me. Geek used to be a four-letter word. Now it's a six-figure one. And we all know what that means. Mm-hmm. You know, that is, you know, it's a cottage industry. You know, The convention circuits have become a cottage industry in their own right.
Yeah, I can think of new cons popping up anywhere. The SciCon Tampa that we've been hyping is a first year convention.
And so is Geekonomicon. They're not an inaugural event as well.
When is their event? When is their con?
Geekonomicon is, I believe, is the first week of December.
Okay.
In between here and there, right here in our own backyard, you know, for at least for me, Lars, and Alex. We have the Tidewater Comic Con, which is coming up October 18th, which we plan on attending, you know. Everyone, you know, anyone listening should definitely check their local listings and see when the next convention's coming to town for you, you know, because they're definitely all over the country and outside of the country, for that matter. I know I went to a convention in Dublin, Ireland once that was primarily all about the X-Files. That was a lot of fun, you know. So they're everywhere. That's the moral of the story is if you're a geek at heart, maybe you want to share that geekdom, you know, maybe you want to explore other aspects of that geekdom and you have no one that you can share it with. Go to these conventions and you will find what you're looking for. I promise you.
So here's a question. I'm going to ask all three of you this because I'm the only one here who has not been to a single con. Mm-hmm. I'll eventually drive a few hours and hit Gen Con since that's in Indianapolis, and that's not far away from me. But let's go down the line, your best and most interesting memory from a con. Let's start with you, Lars.
Oh, easily meeting Nana Visitor, Major Kira from DS9.
Who?
Yeah, actually, Nana and Marina Sirtis from TNG were both at the same same convention, and of course I got to meet Nana and I got her autograph of something, sitting there and watching Marina talk about her experiences, and of course, you know, I was a hormonal teenager at that point, so I was just like, you know, pawing. I'm watching you. I'm watching you. I'm pawing at you because you're so gorgeously beautiful. But
don't get lucky boobs.
The stories, that she would share on the production of TNG, I still sticks with me today. I still remember that con. That's the best one I've been to.
Okay, Dave, what is you of all the cons you've been, the biggest and best and most awesome memory you have?
Oh my God. I've been to so many. It would really be hard to tie it down to just one. So I'm gonna name a couple. All right. I already mentioned the one in Dublin, Ireland. That one was a lot of fun, you know, mainly because I got to travel outside of the country. But there was one in in Pennsylvania. I want to say it was Gettysburg. Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. I went to a Back to the Future convention. And it not only was it a Back to the Future convention, it was also the largest gathering of DeLoreans since the showroom floor. There was easily 50 DeLoreans or something like that outside, you know, parked and you know, I think half of them had flux capacitors between the two front seats.
Nice.
And it was a lot of fun getting to see everybody together. And most of the people that came, you know, all had a bond because they were DeLorean owners. But everyone that owns a DeLorean, even today, is a fan of Back to the Future in some way or the other. I guarantee it. And it was a lot of fun. It was a small community where just everyone were friends. You know, it was like a Stepford Wives sort of like neighbors. Just everyone was so nice. Everyone was so kind. And that really stuck out to me, how close knit of a community it was.
Okay, Alex, let's go for it. Your biggest thing, the thing that flipped your dinger at the best con you've ever been to.
I think the most memorable one that I went to was I used to live in Jacksonville, Florida, and they had a convention there. I don't know if they still do it, but it's just a standard convention, convention with cosplay and everything. But they really they kind of integrated the whole LAN party with it, as well as a bunch of DDR. I've never seen so many people in my life play DDR at one time, and that you know, okay. Especially. Yeah, and they weren't just skinny kids. They were just, like, big guys, and I think that's cool. You know, if you have – you know, like, if you're in school, you know, the skinny kids or the fat kids would always get made fun of, at least when I was in high school. The fat kid always got made fun of. But when I went to the convention, when you see a fat kid sitting next to a skinny kid playing DDR, and they're both having a great time and high-fiving each other, yeah. It's just, like, that's everything right there, at least to me.
That's the beauty, is no one makes fun of each other. Nobody does.
Yeah, and that's always stuck with me.
That's awesome.
Essence of conventions, right there. Like, it's beautiful.
Yeah, I couldn't have said it any better, Dave. It is the essence of the convention. Red Shirt Geeks. And that's all the time we have for this edition of the Red Shirt Geeks. I'm Laz D, the pseudo Kiwi. Come visit us on RedShirtGeeks.com.
I'm the illustrious Patrick M. Come check us out on Twitter at Red Shirt Geeks.
And I'm Sweet Beard of Zeus Alex. We're also on Facebook.
And I'm still dementedly Dave the Destructor. And you should check us out on any one of those things that they already mentioned.
Don't forget Instagram and MySpace.
Or YouTube now.
And GeoCities. Remember GeoCities.
Hey,
How about you guys
check us out on YouTube, where we've got the Doomed Away team on there. I think as this episode's coming out, we have 6 episodes so far, and I should be putting out episode 7 soon.
And that will be awesome, because we are the Red Shirt Geeks, where every expendable hero has a home.
Red Shirt Geeks podcast is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Sharealike 4.0 International license. Permissions beyond the scope of this license may be available at redshirtgeeks.com.